take this opportunity, colleagues, to welcome all of you back to the last lap of the 6th Parliament as we wrap up the work of Parliament. It's good to see everybody. Trust you all had a good holiday and you are all well rested for the work that lies ahead. Let me also take this opportunity to welcome the Chairperson and Deputy Chair of the Road Accident Fund and the executives who are present, and the leaders and the departmental and ministerial staff who are here. AG, as always. SIU, as always. I feel that you need to sit this side now. Because you... colleagues, I received a notification yesterday that there was a last-minute extension of the cabinet lekhotla, which has sort of disturbed plans. The deputy minister endeavours to join us if it is possible, but the chairperson is here of REF, so we will hear from them. We are still working on the program, colleagues, piecemeal, because we were awaiting the framework from Parliament, which has we've now received, and we will make additions and recalibrate the draft that we have. But we thought let's slot in work at least for 4 weeks, and then we'll see. So I think bear with us as we ad hoc try and get around everything else. I received, you'll remember, colleagues, there was the matter of, we received an apology from Mayor Khumalo, the Chief Governance Officer, on the issues around the signing of the heads of argument. He sent in a written apology about that. Chair, I usually charge 100 rands if your phone rings. I'm fundraising for charity. Oh, come on. Oh. Don't worry. At some point I called you the rogue accident. Right, colleagues, we met on the 29th of November and the 6th of December to discuss the public entity litigation against the AG on the non-tabling of the 21-22 annual report, the governance issues and the SIU investigations which are currently underway. Following these meetings, the committee resolved also at the request of REF and the executive authority to give you time to finalize all outstanding matters due to the technical nature of the issues and for supporting documents to be submitted and statements and so on. And of course, there was the indication that you would have come to some sort of direction on this matter at the end of Jan, and so that's why we said that the first meeting in 2024 would be to deal with this matter. So what we are looking for today is an update on the status of the litigation and the tabling of the 21-22 annual report. And as I've said, we've received the letter correcting the statement made in the REF meeting, the previous meeting rather, that it was the CEO who had signed off and filed on the head of arguments on 30 October 2023. Then it's the minister's acceptance letter of the names of candidates approved to serve on the board and so far as gazetting that is concerned, and then a report on all executive vetting, including the date and submission of application forms. But the major issue is to get a status and update report on the litigation of the 21-22 annual report. So I think let's go straight to REF, colleagues, and then we'll take comments and questions after. Madam Chairperson, over to you.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, and Happy New Year to all the members as well, and good morning, Honourable Members. that are in attendance, the Office of the AT, the departmental representatives, the FIU representatives in the room, all protocol observed. Chair, before I start, I'd like to tender an apology on behalf of the RAF CEO. He's on leave. He unfortunately didn't take leave during the festive season, so he will be represented by Mr. Lukwareni. He's the acting CEO today. And also, as you've alluded earlier on, that the accounting executive, the Minister of Transport, and the Deputy Minister are unable to join us this morning. We have Mr. Busa Romanti. He will be representing the DOT this morning. Chairperson, let me just carry on with the matters. I've already observed all protocol. Thank you very much for reminding us of the outstanding matters that remained from the meeting that we had on the 6th of December. And Chairperson, you're right, we requested a little bit of time for the new board to consider all the information available to them relating to the litigation matter and the change of accounting policy at the RAF. So having done that, the board was able to meet towards the end of December last year to specifically consider the matter. After all considerations were made, they basically considered all available information pertaining to the matter that the previous board went through and that was available to them to actually assist them in arriving at a decision or whether to review the previous board's decision. Sorry, Chairperson, I thought this thing was getting worse. I thought I switched it off. My apologies, Chairperson. There you go. Apologies once more, Honourable Committee. So the board considered all the information available to them regarding this matter, and the new board found no compelling reasons to change the previous board's decision for the following reasons, Chairperson. They believe that the decision is in the best interest of the RAF as well as the users of its financial statements, given that the matter was of an accounting nature. They felt that the intention of the change seeks to correct a historical error of the miscalculation of the RAF claims liability based on an accounting standard meant for insurance companies, which we know the entity is not an insurance company. We know that RAF is a social benefit fund. And secondly, they also believe that this historical error and miscalculation led to a fundamental misrepresentation of the RAF financial statements, because the effect of that accounting treatment that has been applied over the years actually ensure that the liabilities of the fund were overstated, thereby fundamentally misrepresenting the financial position and the financial statements of the organization. The other third consideration they made, Chairperson, was that they considered that IFRS 4, which is the very accounting standard that the RAF was expected to use, the same one that was used historically, is actually an international accounting standard, similarly to IPSAS 42 that is currently in question. The fourth consideration, I think more importantly, Chair, is that the GRAP reporting framework, which is the framework that is expected to be applied by all government departments and entities, actually allows the use of an international standard in the absence of a relevant standard. I think it's GRAP 3 that they consider. In fact, that standard in a nutshell says that in the absence of a standard of GRAP that specifically applies to a transaction or event or condition, management shall use its judgment in developing and applying an accounting policy that results, amongst others, in a reliable financial statement. That was a quote from Grabtree. So that's the other consideration, which is very critical, because the board had to satisfy itself, the current board, that this decision was in compliance with the prescribed accounting framework within government, which is the very GRIP that for some reason has been stated that the organization did not comply with. Finally, Chairperson, the board satisfied itself that the RAF management consulted extensively with the Office of the Auditor General, the Office of the Accountant General, including the Accounting Standards Board, which is the ASB, at the time to try and confirm and actually comply with GRIP 3 to ensure that there's sufficient communication clarity and to ensure that we're getting professional advice in the matter, that we are not in non-compliance with the GRIP standards. And they actually went to a state where they went outside and consulted to get additional opinion on the matter at the time. So because of the dispute and the disagreement at the time, the discussions continued where a mediation process started. Unfortunately, the Auditor General walked out of that mediation process. At that stage, the RAF was left with no other option because the matter remained unresolved. And then they realized they needed an independent arbiter in the form of the court. In fact, the Auditor General herself stated that she cannot change her decision. Only a court can do so. So technically, we were directed to the court environment to try and resolve the matter. So the matter went to court as a last resort. So these are the considerations that the current board had to consider. And Chair, as recent as the month of January 2024, last month, the board continued to reach out to the ASB, the OAG, with the intention to set up a technical team. Remember, Chair, that we committed that I think the Minister of Transport had actually guided us to try and still find an amicable solution, even with the fact that the matter was already in court, so we can try and find some solution towards the preparation of the financial statement as we are going to another year-end and another year-end audit. So I did give you feedback that we met with the team on the ground from the Auditor General, and they were willing, you know, in principle, to be part of the technical team. But obviously we needed the ASB as a critical player, the standard setting body. So we reached out to them and they only responded now in January. Unfortunately, they declined and they said they are unable to participate in the technical team. So that's where, once again, the alternative mediation process falling flat because the ASB said they are unwilling to participate. So in conclusion of this matter, Chairperson, I think it's important to note that the matter now has been to court. The proceedings started on the 30th of January, the 30th, the 31st, as well as the 1st of February. So the matter was presented in court. So the matter, as you know, is truly sub judice, and I don't think that I should say more about this, but I think in terms of the role that the committee played, we had a duty to give you this feedback. So, Chairperson, I think that's the feedback regarding the decision of the board, that they had to uphold the decision of the last board, having considered all these facts and realized that it is in the best interest of this organization to correct the errors of the past. And really, it's always difficult to try and fix problems of the past, but in this case, I think it's important. And the board also made a consideration that this will actually guide the accounting fraternity in this country, that this matter is much bigger than the board. It's much bigger than the RAF. It will just give some direction with entities and government entities who sometimes find themselves not having an appropriate standard to apply in certain conditions. And Chairperson, regarding the other outstanding matters, you've confirmed that the new board has been gazetted. I think they were publicized on the 12th of December, if I'm not mistaken, through the ministerial office. And thirdly, the finalization of the 2021-2022 annual report, as the minister presented last time, it's in her capable hands, because she did indicate that she had already received the same from the RAF sometime last year, and she was still seeking legal opinion on the matter. However, Chair, I will not go into detail on that one because, as I say, it's a ministerial matter. I will allow Mr. Ramante, who is representing the MOT this morning, to elaborate further on this matter. And fourthly, Chairperson, regarding the mistake that was made by one of our RAF executives, I think you've just confirmed that a letter has been shared with the committee of her apology and clarity of the matter regarding the incorrect statement around the heads of arguments. So I believe that meant the report has been submitted. And also, you've also received the report regarding security vetting of the RAF executives. I'm told, Chair, that all of them, those who had not yet submitted at the time, they've submitted their forms and relevant supporting information to the SSA to be processed. I think the CEO's one had already been submitted, so we're just waiting for the SSA to finalize the process. I think lastly, Chair, regarding the matter on the non-payment of the SIU invoices, we met on Friday, on the 2nd of February, with the advocate, Motibi, the head of SIU, and his investigation team. The meeting was very cordial and amicable, and we were all wanting to find meaningful relationships and making sure that all the issues that were problematic around communication would be cleared. So the past matters relating to communication between the two entities have since been cleared. We agree that those were basically misunderstandings in the past. So we know then who is supposed to be receiving information on behalf of the RAF. In fact, the same information were shared during that exchange to ensure that both organizations are able to process that which was outstanding at the time. We also resolved around starting the process for the SIU to pay over the recovered funds on behalf of the RAF, because all the recoveries that they had made up to this point are still within the SIU. So the Honourable Advocate confirmed that he'll start the process to pay over those funds urgently to the RAF. And also the RAF confirmed that they've started processing the invoice because they just received them. And I'd like to confirm, Chairperson, that the RAF have since paid, I think yesterday, the full amount of all invoices that were due to the SIU. I think it's 5.5 million. So all that amount has been paid. We're just waiting for them to process what they owe us, the 21 million of the outstanding, of the outstanding amounts that they've recovered on our behalf. And we also agreed that the progress reports, the sharing of relevant interim reports, where applicable, will be processed in terms of the terms of reference as agreed by all parties. So the meeting in general was very peaceful, and we cleared the way forward in terms of communication, because the two entities will still be working together. There's a number of investigations that the SIU is currently still processing on our behalf. And I think, Chairperson, if I'm not mistaken, I've covered all the outstanding matters. But I'll allow Mr. Lucarelli and Mr. Romanzi to actually comment on any of these matters, particularly the MOT representative regarding the outstanding 2021-2022 annual report. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Yeah, good morning, Chair. I think from the Chair, I think you've covered all the matters. I don't think there's anything to add from our end, unless Mr. Romanzi from the DOT perspective. Thanks.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, Honourable Members. As the Chair alluded, Chairperson of the Board alluded, Chairperson, the matter is receiving attention from the Minister. We have not received any notification as to the finalization of the legal opinion that she has requested with regard to her being empowered on the matter of her signing, because she was not executive authority at the time. So as soon as that is done, I think the Minister will relate to the committee.
Chairperson had delegated. I'm not sure if she's done. She was still.
Honourable Chair, I think we're done. Unless we miss out something, we'll be guided by yourself. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think I've expressed this before. The sub judice rule doesn't apply here. We are a separate arm of the state. What the court does will hear when it completes its processes, as we run our own processes here in the collective interest of oversight. I just want to start with one thing and then we'll go to comments. AG, I think it's a very categoric statement that the AG walked out. I think that is a... you'd want to react to that. And then on the issue of the ASB, I think to say they refused to participate in the process or the technical committee, if unpacked, and I'm not their spokesperson, but they say in correspondence that participation in such a process would impair our independence. We are not involved in the development of any organization's accounting policies and do not believe that REF is an exception. I think that qualification is important for that. AG, and then we'll come to you, colleagues.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members of the committee. The leadership of REF, led by the Chairperson, and the representatives of the DOT. Chairperson, if you'll allow me to just put the perspective of the AG on these matters forward. Yes, the REF did inform us that they're going to use IPSIS 42 at the time that they chose to use IPSIS 42. Upfront, we disagreed with the use of IPSIS 42, and we stated as such that our view is that IPSIS 42 should not be used and that they should continue with the existing accounting policy, one which is based on IFRS 4, and that view was supported by the ASB as well. In terms of the dispute resolution process, Chairperson, you'll note that this took place during the 2021 audit cycle. We allowed for the process to continue. The REF did approach the Office of the Accountant General and the ASB on the matter. We allowed the process to unfold until about the 4th of December 2021, whereafter we said, let's get a view and let's try and conclude this audit because it was being delayed unduly. The REF didn't accept the views of the OAG at the time, and we had no choice or no legal basis on which to delay the finalization of that audit. Hence, we concluded the audit and then drafted the decision to take the matter to court. In terms of mediation, Chairperson, there is no grounds for mediation of an audit opinion in terms of the Auditor General. we need to meet certain criteria before we say we can reopen or withdraw an audit report. In the REV case, we have applied our criteria in terms of the policy as set out in the Public Audit Act. The criteria was not met, and that was communicated in a meeting of the Auditor General and the chairperson of the board at the time to say the criteria is not met. We don't allow for mediation on an audit report or an independent arbitrator as put forward by the REF. So we don't allow that process. The criteria is not met. And the feedback from the AG was very clear. As long as you proceed with the litigation, we are duty bound to defend our position on the matter. And that's what we've done all this time, Chairperson. So I can put it straightforward that we haven't abandoned the dispute resolution process. We've tried to abide by that process. It is a process that is allowed, and it is a matter of of an accounting nature, hence the Office of the Accountant General and the ASB needed to be involved in that. In terms of meeting with the leadership, we did meet with the chairperson of the board together with the full audit committee on the 4th of December, and there we explained the basis for the dispute. So we unpacked what was the basis for the dispute. There was a suggestion put forward of a technical team. It wasn't something that we were willing to be part of, and I'll try and explain this, Chairperson, is that we are the external auditors, and we cannot get involved in accounting matters, because later on we'll have to audit that. So what our suggestion was is approach the ASB, which the Chairperson did mention that they have approached the ASB, so we cannot be part of any technical team that determines the appropriateness of the standard that is being used. The ASB is the approved, authorized body that will prescribe the framework that should be applied, and then we'll audit based on what is approved. So in terms of a technical committee, we cannot be part of that, and as long as this matter is under litigation, we cannot be discussing this matter. Chairperson, I'm hoping I've covered all of the matters. If you'll allow Chairperson for our business unit leader to add. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Good morning, and also to all the honorable members and honorable chair, and also the executives from Department of Transport, RAF, and also from FIU. Just as well, honorable chair, in terms of the status of the court case, the Auditor General did file their head of argument on the 13th of December 2023, and the hearing did took place before a full bench of three judges over the period of 3 days from the period of January to the 1st of February 2024. And all the parties, which is the Auditor General, the Road Accident Fund, as well as the ASB, presented their respective arguments. So the hearing was concluded on the 1st of February 2024, and currently the judgment has been reserved. So I wanted as well to give that kind of an update with regard to the court case that is currently underway. Thank you, Chairperson.
All right. Colleagues, Honorable Son, Honorable Liz, in that order, please.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members, the Chairperson of RAF, and executives, the SIU representative, the AG's office. My colleagues, I think we need to appreciate the report as given by the Chairperson of RAF. The detail of which we asked them in the previous meeting to provide. Secondly, the acceptance of the correspondence, which we directed that it should be forwarded to us on the basis of the statement of the Chief Governance Officer. And thirdly, the matter might be having a semblance of muteness in the way things have gone. that the same matter which you are dealing with now has been somewhat close to finality by the courts as it awaits the judgment, where it has been on the sore side of the fact that we've been dealing with this matter, persuading in a sensible way that the authority should prevail for the matter not to take that form. Since it has gone that way, we highlighted a number of things which would impact on such. One of those is that there are costs involved, two, there are matters of integrity which are as well involved, and the straightforwardness of the matters rely on the fact that the standard setter has been present in one of our meetings, has been very clear on what their role is and how they view the actual process. Where I think RAF would have erred is to combine two things. They might be somewhat eager to solve problems which are in occurrence as far as RAF as an institution is concerned. But they unfortunately use the wrong approach to what to take their problems into the accounting standard. And the matters of policy can be solved at the end of the game through the accounting standards. I was looking into the list of the board members here just to check the capacity of the current board. I don't want to be on that case, but they have chartered accountants who know that matters of accounting are dealt with in a particular way, and therefore you won't know as to in this instance whether it would arrive at what we dealt with previously. That if they fail to make their case in the courts, would there be consideration in terms of the cost of the process that those who took such decisions would still remain responsible personally and severally in as far as such a decision is concerned? So it lied on our time, on our parliamentary task to somewhat convince the authority, the board, to somewhat be sensible in handling these kinds of matters. But it looks like as we were engaging, the matters would have been in the courts already. As I'm listening now, that the responding papers were somewhat filed immediately after our last meeting, not even probably before our last meeting, which took place to somewhat meet the deadlines. So it looks like, Chair, if I were to persuade them, something which we did, that they should be sensible of the fact that the matters they're dealing with are somewhat matters which ought to be looked into in a different mode. One, on the policy direction, and then two, which is the technical accounting audit matter, which ought to be dealt with somewhat different. Their problems would rely on policy. That policy can be matched with an accounting policy, which they thought that for them is the standard. The last thing is that the current board, someone sought to be shown a sense of reluctance into venturing into the renewal of such, because as they say, there was no compelling reason for them to do so. So they own up into what happened previously, and therefore, as it has been the case with the previous board, this current board would be in the same scenario as it has been with the previous board. And the question, as you have read in the correspondence from the ASB, they are so clear. You see, the sentence you read, which is a sentence that is last sentence in the second paragraph, states it clear that what they don't do in any or with any other institution, they can't then do it with RAF as a matter of emphasis, which I would really want to reread that sentence, you see, which says, we are not involved in the development of any organization's accounting policies and do not believe that the RAF is an exception. So you would read it from there that indeed they are strong at that point as a standard setter. Otherwise, if we would have multiplicity of standards observed by various entities, that is a somewhat a problem which should be created for the country in terms of lawlessness and failure of predictability of the systems and without the observance of existing standards. Mostly at the time when the country is in the scrutiny of the international bodies that look into the financial standard setting. We are on a grey listing currently. I haven't heard whether we have got out of such. And such a laissez-faire approach, which is perpetual in the side of RAF, presents a scenario where a country would allow everybody in terms of institutions to just be free to develop standards, and they ought to be audited the way they like and to account the way they like. They don't observe the rules of the game. The current board, even if they're talking about the nature of the situation currently, they must have a look into that. They must, if there were problems in terms of liabilities, A, B, C, D, E, such a technical process can't be meshed with a policy which RAF ought to persuade the ministry to deal with. In a way, this is very substantive, and I really somewhat feel for the office of the Auditor General, because you base your audit on the existing standards approved by authorities. There is only one authority in terms of the standard setting and approval, SAB, and then the Accountant General within Treasury would issue such kinds of standard to various entities to be audited as they receive money from fiscus. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. Babulis, Honorable Fanminen, stand by. Please just take note of all the issues.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do hope that the CEO is not using any roads on his holiday and leave, because in the event of him being injured in an accident, I doubt that he would get any compensation for a very long time out of his own organization. Mr. Chairman, the RAF, no matter what accounting standard you apply, is bankrupt. It is in a chaotic mess. People are out there not getting what's due to them for years on end. And here we are fussing about an accounting standard. I'm astounded. The new chair of the board, I'm sad to say, makes statements about a matter that she herself says is at court. You say that it's been incorrect, errors of the past. Who says so? You saying that the Audit General says differently. You can't make progress if you're trying to resolve a matter if you have such a firm position. But Mr. Chairman, the bottom line is, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? You have such a huge mess to fix. Why are you not fixing the mess? Why are your employees terrified? This is not something new about the state of the RAF. We've visited, we get emails on a regular basis, and Mr. Chair used to get some, I get a whole lot, begging for help. There was one yesterday, if I remember correctly. And here we are, Mr. Chairman, talking about an accounting standard. We're not talking about the services that should be supplied by the organization. The costs involved. Mr. Chairman, may I formally ask that we ask the RAF and the Auditor General and the ASB to supply us with a full costing of what this dispute has cost from day one until the point of the court action, and including the court action. There are no questions to ask, Mr. Chairman. We've asked all the questions. We've begged as well. But no, we are going to stand our ground, says the new board. Are you also intimidated in some way, perhaps? I hope not. I hope not. Mr. Chairman, I don't know, how many years have we been visiting and dealing with this particular matter? We now have 2022, and absolutely no progress. Not one bit of progress at all. Not in the dispute, which shouldn't even exist, but more importantly, in the services that are provided by the RAF. The institution is bankrupt. No matter what way you look at the contingent liabilities and other liabilities, it's bankrupt. It's simply the extent of the bankruptcy that you're trying to manipulate. And I use the word manipulate deliberately. Mr. Chairman, we're going to leave this Parliament, and I shall leave it permanently in a few months' time. And this will be one of the biggest failures on my part and the part of SCOPA, to not being able to get any progress out of the RAF. It is going to be one of my sad regrets as I leave Parliament. Because the impact on ordinary people in our country is massive. Massive. And I do truly pray that none of us in this room are faced with having to deal with the RAF because of a road accident. Not under the present circumstances. So, Mr. Chairman, I don't have a direct question to ask because I think we've been over this ground over and over and over again. As Honorable Somyo says, we have tried. We have really tried. Perhaps we have missed something on the way, but we haven't achieved anything. Nothing at all. Even with the new board, there's no movement. And Madam Chair of the Board, there is another option. You say that the court action is the only option. No, there isn't. Accept the Auditor General's position and let's move on. Get the annual financials done. And let's get on with the real work that has to be done. The real work of fixing your organization. The real work of making sure your employees have desks to work at. The real work of making sure that they have all the resources they need. Clean up the piles of paper lying around in corridors, in garages downstairs. Pay the people who deserve to be paid. That's the real work that you should be embarked on. Madam Chair of the Board, please get your board to do that. To focus on that. Mr. Chairman, as sad as I am about our lack of progress, even as a retired person from Parliament, I shall still be an activist. And I shall continue to watch what unfolds with the RAF. And I shall continue to try to assist the people who are aggrieved by the lack of services there. So, Mr. Chairman, having said that, I do hope that our report to the House, if it ever gets to the House, is a report which highlights the malfeasance that has taken place at the RAF and the lack of any real will to make a change and make it a service to the people it's supposed to service. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Honourable Liz. Honourable Van Binnen.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I think both my colleagues have very eloquently expressed a view that I hold as well. And, you know, this is very much deja vu. We've been sitting essentially in a continuation of this meeting now for, what, 2.5 years? And, I mean, when one visits the RAF, when one sees the conditions the people are working under at the RAF, that you see the desperation with the people who are trying to get paid out, claims from the RAF, and yet there is this continual dithering on this issue, which is essentially not even a storm in a teacup. I mean, it's completely and utterly unbelievable. This is continuing in the face of everything that has happened in the last 2.5 years. And I'm beginning to wonder why there is this deliberate obtuseness in terms of moving forward. It's pointless to sit here and say the AG walked out of the meeting, out of the mediation, because it's very, very clear that the RAF has absolutely no interest whatsoever in mediation or in any kind of resolution other than the very determined view that they hold. And quite frankly, what it's done is hijacked the entire organization. It's at a point now where, seriously, the corporate veil needs to be pierced and board members and the CEO need to be held personally responsible for essentially what is the destruction of a fund that has been set up to assist people who are the victims of motor accidents. It's completely unbelievable this continues to carry on. So, you know, I'm not going to waste more time just simply repeating everything, but it's really at a point now where urgent action needs to be taken. Thank you.
Thank you, colleagues. I just wonder whether in terms of process the RAF is convinced that they did this the right way, because the term consultations is very euphemistic if it's not a sanitization of process. Because if the AG indicates that this accounting practice standard, they informed them that it would not be applicable or allowed or whatever, and you proceeded. The ASB says the same thing. They came even to our meeting and said the same thing. Treasury says the same thing. Our research unit here, Parliament, says the same thing. Because I think where Ref misses it is to assume that we are dictating to you what accounting standard you should be using. That's not what we are saying. We are saying to you, the process in which you followed is wrong. Because you went and changed the standard and then went back to everybody else and expected them to ratify it after they told you that it was not allowed. And then you cry wolf now when the audit outcome comes back disclaimed. When you actively, deliberately and purposefully engineered that audit outcome. I find it incomprehensible that the board would come back to us today after asking for time and say that they see no reason to walk away from this litigation. I'm sitting here and I'm looking at all these persons whom have been gazetted here. A basic principle and processing reality on such an important matter, and you see nothing wrong with it. I'd rather draw the conclusion other than to say that I'm worried, even at the capacity of the board. Two and a half years later, and this matter is not resolved because Rev from the outset had no intention whatsoever to listen to anyone. So, colleagues, I know that we are, in fact, I'm just fed up to say the least. Because I do not think that Ref is engaged in this process in good faith. I don't think Ref has been honest, and I don't think Ref has taken into consideration and into account the full set of circumstances other than to say that they have to prove themselves right on a mistake, and I put it lightly, that they have made. You were wrong to change the accounting process without following due process. Completely and utterly wrong. And if the court finds in your favor, then it would have set into motion a dangerous precedent for accounting and for oversight in this country. The mere fact that even your matter is receiving the attention of the court, as far as I'm concerned, is in itself problematic. Because what you want now is oversight by judiciary process. You are setting the terms of engagement for yourselves in terms of how you want to be oversighted and how you want to be held accountable. And you are throwing everything out the window, hell-bent on a process that suits your own attitude and not the reality before us. Not one entity, not one has said what you have done is right. Not one. And I've been toying with this thing the whole holidays as to whether really we should actually be participating in that court process. Because it's going to open a can of worms for everyone. Departments and entities are going to all say, oh, we are changing. Because what you did was at a stroke of a signature, sanitized your liability. And the proof of that is in what the chair says when she says that the accounting standard that you are using overstated your liabilities. And this decision flows out of at appointment when the minister said, fix the books, he did not mean sanitize the books as far as I understood what was being said. That's the genesis of this thing. How then the board sees nothing wrong with it when it met, baffles the mind. Because everything from inception of this change is a red flag. There is not one step that is right, not a single one. I hear you, Mazambane, you want the costs. I think we must get those costs. I'm tempted to even say, should we not see the minutes of this discussion that the board had? I'm sitting here wondering, why shouldn't we get the minutes? Is this a unanimous view of the board? Because if it is, then I'm equally worried that nobody sees. The final point is that to say ref is in trouble would be an understatement. I was laughing with some people on social media say, I'm broke, home and yom kwakle, totally ref. And I'll say to myself, don't bother. You won't get it. You won't. That's nje. Because what I think is wrong is to sort of cast aspersions on other entities. The AG walked out. The ASB does not want to participate without putting these things in their proper context. It's such grandiose labeling of people and entities, all in a bid to prove yourselves right. And quite frankly, nothing you say here is going to convince us that you are right. And the one thing I've learned over the past 5 years, sitting as chairperson of this committee, is the ability to read body language and to read faces and to read smirks when things are said and when observations are made and when colleagues comment. And I've observed since 2022 in dealing with this matter that you simply don't care. It's all fun and games. And today I've sat here and I'm just like, yeah, well, we're back to square one. What would be dangerous is board capture on this decision. I may not have my finger exactly as to where it arises from, but I've got an inkling. I don't think the board has applied its mind and itself to the level of fiduciary responsibility and obligation that comes with the role that you have. I'm not convinced. So that's our, you'll have an opportunity to respond, and we'll put to you what we request. And Mazambane, don't feel that we have failed. We continue to expose the shortcomings. Mabu, so.
Just a small point, Chair. That's my, shows my new role going forward. New role going forward, eh? New role going forward. Just a small matter, Chair. If I may ask the Chair of the Board, the appointment assigned by the Minister has 12 board members.
How many of these 12 are new, and how many of them are the continuation in terms of the scope of the previous board? That's a small question. The other issue I was going to get into, Chair, is the issue which relates to our plea for the sign-off of the annual report. Was looking here at the legislation which applies the Public Audit Act, which makes reference on the tabling of the reports, and in an instructive way, where the AG after finalization of the audit is required to report to any legislature where the relevant body reports. So Section 20 of the Section 21, I think it's Section 21, which deals with the submission of the audit reports. So it becomes clear that it's a matter that the AG ought to do, even by the manner of public interest to such an auditee. So the AG, in terms of law, is supposed to make that submission. So the sign off of the report by the Auditor General is what has been is required by law. And looking into the time towards the submission of the financials for the ensuing year, which is approaching, and it would have been funny for the AG not to have submitted this kind of the report. Secondly, is that as well, the minister was the deputy minister in that department. The minister, previous minister, who was there, was Minister Malula, and they were together in the department. Why this reluctance to act as a successor, in as far as her role, in as far as the submission and the side of the annual report to be submitted to the National Assembly. So all these kinds of things are the things which somewhat ought to be somewhat encouraged, because it ought to reflect on those financials going forward. Thank you very much, Chair.
No, the AG was right. And submitting that. Can you just start with the BoardCom? The company secretary, just take us through that list that has been sent of the 12 board members who's new, and then the board chairperson will come in to respond. So who's new, who's not?
Chair, if you don't mind, can I start on the second page, number 12? Number 12, Gwena Kadat Komabe is new. Mr. Khotso James Silo is new. Pamela Bonge Gamatebula is new. Bongiwe Kumalo is new. Tinyibo Mhlari is new. Going to the first page. Polide Zadla is new. Simpiwe Blose is new. Thulani Shabalala is not new. Moses is not new. Nomonde Buyisa Mabuya Mwele is not new. Notuzelo Njeza is not new, and Laurent Francois not new. So it's 7 in total, the new board that was appointed, new members that were appointed on the 1st of October, in addition to the old ones. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. So 7 new, 5 return. Right. Chairperson, over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and honourable members, for the various comments and guidance as well as some questions. We know them and we will endeavor to ensure that we incorporate them as we lead this organization going forward. I think, Chair, most of these were comments. I'd just like to basically respond on the a comment that has been made that the RAF is still in a chaotic state, is a mess, and not paying people, and unhappy employees. I just want to correct the chair and say the RAF since 2019 has been showing an upward improvement in managing this organization. In fact, it has been turned around. And if you look at its financial position before that, has improved drastically. We have presented the reports and all of them have been audited. The performance of the organization has been improving up to a point of 91.3%. So this is an organization that has been improving, and this organization has been increasing the payment of claims up to a point where we have implemented a customer-centric strategy, including creating a customer care center where we are dealing on a daily basis, trying to deal with historic matters to make sure that all the issues that the claimants are dealing with are actually being cleared as we speak on a daily basis. So the RAF, the new RAF, is on the ground, close to their customers. We have a new strategy, a communication strategy. You can see out there in the media space that RAF is going out where the people are and they're asking, how can we help you? You know, and so we are accessible. We're on the ground and we're getting very few complaints. We are paying, you know, all our claimants. The numbers speak for themselves. And also, Chairperson, in terms of the issue around bankruptcy, even that financial position have changed. We've also reported in the last 3 years, the RAF has not been receiving increase in its annual levies. But this organization has managed to stabilize itself and run the business effectively. So this board is trying and will continue to endeavor to improve this organization so that eventually it will not have to be dependent on the government. But since then, we haven't asked for any bailout and we are still being able to pay an increased payment of claims. So, Chair, and also I think with the recent restructure, we've done a lot of communication on the ground with our staff surveys, and we're getting very encouraging, let me just say encouraging feedback, and we are continuously improving, making sure that, you know, we live our values so that all the RAF people are actually in an environment that is conducive for them to work around. So we're seeing a different RAF, Chairperson, but there are still challenges. We cannot run away from that. And we are working around the clock, Chair, to implement an integrated claims management system to get out of the paperwork space. And that's why also we're trying to change the legislation. Because currently RAF is paper-based, because that's what the legislation says, that every claim, people must come, you know, with papers to submit. So until such time that the legislation changes, this organization will continue battling with paper. But nevertheless, we are proactive to say, let's automate. So we are basically going through that process of automation. So we are trying to improve, Chairperson, to improve the experience of the RAF claimants. And Chairperson, I really take into consideration all the other comments made. Thank you very much.
I'm not sure on what basis we can find there's an improvement, but audit outcomes, which are the basis of our assessment here, is the one in court, 12 in December, court dismisses ref bid to appeal judgment scrapping onerous claim requirements. You live in court. Harrowing experiences. I'm going through my messages here. I am literally in the streets due to the loss of income. I have been waiting for ref claim since 2019. I'm a 56-year-old female. And go through these horrendous stories. Long list. And so, Chair, I'm not certain as to whether it would be a correct outlook to want to run REF on the basis of a hope that legislation will change. Because right now the rules of engagement which you have are the ones which you must play by, not to postpone everything. What if Parliament, is rising, even if we do come back, we're not even sure that we'll be here in this committee. Parties will deploy us elsewhere, we'll be backbenchers. It's fine. But what does not change is that Parliament will not be obliged, it's not obliged to amend in your favor. Because I think that's the mistake that's made, the assumption that executive bills will sort of just go through. The bill may change completely in its shape and form, and you may get an outcome which may not be what you want out of public consultation and submission that will take place. And I can tell you now, I will make it a point that we draw the attention of the portfolio committee which will be dealing with this bill to the report that we are going to write about REF, whether I'm here or not here. Now, so this thing then of kicking things down the road with the hope, it will change. It's the same modus operandi employed with the change of accounting practice. Let's change it so we don't have to engage in the responsibilities which are currently present. Can you imagine if I came here to the committee and I started saying I'm going to give you speaking time, colleagues, on the basis of what happens in the House. And then I say I'm going to write to the Rules Committee to allow me to do that. After having done it, I don't think it's correct, Babuso. So that's what I'm saying. I fundamentally believe, Chairperson, that you have not applied your mind to this thing. And I go back to what I said the last time. I found it very strange for you in the last meeting to say you are applying your minds when you were part and parcel of the previous board. It was the oddest thing. Because what I would have understood you to be saying is to say we were in the previous board, have been updating the current board. You're still going to be orientated on drastic decisions when you were there. I'm going to engage the House Chair on this matter in terms of how we can sort of monitor it closer. And I think we need to find time to talk about it before, so that we can finalize a report on this matter, on REF, and see what cause of actions and avenues may be available to us colleagues. So we will look at the program. We may even have find time for an evening meeting just to amongst ourselves finalize this matter, because its ramifications on oversight are going to turn this country upside down. But because REF has always defined itself outside everyone else, they're not bothered by that. The second one is, can we get the rolling cost of this litigation in terms of where it is right now, and the companies involved whom you are using? And I think we want the minutes of how you arrived at this decision that you see nothing wrong to our own consumption here, because I think that we have received a summary of what transpired there. And I'm pretty certain we'll have a full basis that when this goes south, there will be no reason for us not to call for you to be declared delinquent directors. There will be none whatsoever. And for you to bear the cost personally for this fishing expedition of oversight by courts, for you to set the rules of oversight yourselves. Because maybe let me ask a question for the clarity. It's one question. In all the engagements we have had with National Treasury, which is the Office of the Accountant General, Auditor General, the ASB, and ourselves here, is it the position of the board that those entities are wrong in the determination that they've made, that the accounting standard that you have adopted is wrong? Is it the position of the board categorically that all those entities are wrong?
For the question. Chair, I'm unable to speak on behalf of the board because this question has never been posed formally, so I don't have the authority to answer the question on their behalf. I think we will have to ask them in a fully constituted board meeting and then get their response, but currently I don't have the answer to that question.
When this decision was taken to proceed with the court action, you did not consider what the ASB said, Office of the Accountant General, AG, put us aside, because they have made submissions on this in the presence of the REF board and the executives, and they came here with positions. I don't think that the response of the chairperson is sufficient. I don't even think it's a response. I put it again, she is here representing the board as its chairperson. Is it the position of the board that all the entities I've listed are wrong? Because then the question starts, when do you speak for the board and when don't you speak for the board? Then why wasn't the whole board brought here for this interaction? The purpose of representation is precisely because you present the views of the committee. So I put the question again, is it the position of the RAF board that the AG is wrong, that the Office of the Accountant General is wrong and that the ASB is wrong. I don't think that the response that you've given constitutes a response, so we would like a response to that.
Thank you, Chairperson. Again, I think you've correctly stated that I represent the views of the board. Right now, I don't have a considered view that was given to me regarding that question. I think I've answered all the questions pertaining to the matter based on the resolutions that were taken in a fully constituted board meeting. So, Chair, I'm really unable to place any positions of the board without being instructed in a fully constituted meeting in terms of a board resolution.
No, it's fine. Is it your position that they are wrong? Then I will send correspondence to each board member asking them, and I'm going to come to the deputy chairperson now. Is it your position then as a board member that they are wrong? I'm the chairperson, I'm coming to you, ma'am. Is it your position then that they are wrong?
Chairperson, I'm missing the question. I really can't answer. Sorry.
The question is, from 2022, we have sat in this room and been joined virtually by relevant bodies on the key question of the non-submission of the 2021-2022 annual report, which was disclaimed by the Auditor General on the basis that there was a change of an accounting practice. It was then a matter which was taken to court, and the Minister then directed that the RAF pull out of court. Against that background, we met with the RAF, the ASB, the Office of the Accountant General, and the AG, who all categorically said that the accounting practice you used was not recognized and therefore it was wrong. You have taken a decision after asking for time, and this is why we are here today, to say you want to go and deliberate on the matter. You have come back and said that you are continuing with the court action because there is no compelling reason, quote unquote, for you not to proceed. It therefore is the question becomes, is it your position as you continue with the court action that the ASB one is wrong, that the Office of the Accountant General is wrong, and that the AG is wrong? That's the question.
Thank you, Chairperson. The non-submission of the 21-2022 MR report is in the hands of the Minister of Transport. I think that matter has been deliberated on, and the RAF has since submitted the same to her. So we will wait on how she concludes on the matter. But individually, I don't have a position. I'm a board member. I represent a collective. So I can't have my own position. I'm sorry, Chairperson. I can't answer that.
Chair, we ask you for your board position. You don't have one because you don't speak for each one. We ask you for your position. You don't have one because you speak for the collective. You need to make up your mind of which is which. Honestly, you have to make up your mind. And I don't want us to venture down a road of having to find you in contempt of Parliament, because this meeting is constituted in terms of the Powers and Privileges Act. And I do not want to find ourselves in a situation where we have to now issue a subpoena against you and the board to come and respond to these things. It cannot be that you will come here and say that you found no compelling reasons on this matter not to continue with the court action, and you continue with it. And the basic principle is that the people who make determination have put a position Is it the position of the board that when you discuss this matter, you took no regard to what the ASB has said, the OEG has said, and the Auditor General? It just doesn't make sense. And we are not going to leave here until we've got a response. And luckily, there's no sitting end of the house this afternoon.
Thank you, Chair, once again. Chairperson, when I started presenting our case in terms of the matter that we are standing from December the 6th, I started with this matter and I did present the decision of the board in relation to this matter and some of the considerations that they took in arriving at that decision. And one of those considerations was the discussions and the views around all those role players, the Auditor General, the Accountant, Office of the Accountant General, the ASB. So the board did take into consideration all their views, but the challenge was that the disputes in question remained unresolved. That's why even up to date, we're still trying to find a way of finding an alternative solution to the problem so that we can resolve the how part in relation to this coming year end, because we realize that the matter, the disputes in terms of really finding an appropriate accounting policy that will reflect the RAF Act. In fact, the RAF Act states that the process that needs to be followed to actually assess a claim up to a point where it becomes a liability. So the RAF Act actually also includes exclusions that need to be considered.
Madam Chair, respectfully, that is not where we are. Because in the last meeting, I even said, if these entities are saying that this accounting practice is wrong, go and meet them and find the right one. Those are my words. So in considering the view, as you said, that you consider their views, maybe let me not use the word wrong. Let me say, do you disagree? Do you not consider what they said to be right? So the ASB is wrong. That's what you are saying to us. You considered it and you are saying that the ASB is wrong. That's what we want. Because there has to be a basis for how you're proceeding with this. So I again put the question, is it the position of the RAF board that the ASB, the Office of the Accountant General, and the AG are wrong? That's the question, is the nub of the matter. I think we have sketched on this thing, we've had laughs and cries and so on, and it's been all fun and games and it's hunky-dory. Let's get to the nub of it. Is it the position of REF that the ASB is wrong, that the Office of the Accountant General is wrong, and that the AG is wrong? Is it? Now I'm talking to the board. They took this decision. We want a response to that. Because when I first put the question, the chairperson says she does not have the views of the board. So I want her views as a board member, duly constituted and gazetted. That's why I have done this gazette thing, because I wanted us to get here. So again, we want to know. Sithisulu, today a clue and is cut. I'm flat. So we know what we are dealing with. We want a response to that.
Chairperson. With due respect, to the best of my ability, I've attempted to answer that question on behalf of the board, but I don't have a mandate. We never ask that specific question because we deal with matters of principle. The issue on the table is a technical matter. We deal with the technical matter, not in the individual views of the board members. We always, in the boardroom, deal with technical matters on our agenda, and we try and resolve them without getting personal. So I can't, I don't have a mandate to speak on personal views.
So, you see, there's a very specific area here of your appointment, area of expertise in the members appointed to the board to provide expert input in the due processes of the board. You said you found no compelling reasons, quote unquote. So you are proceeding to court to challenge the AG after the ASB, Office of the Accountant General, have told you that you are wrong. The inverse of wrong is right. So it's either they're right or they're wrong. If you are dealing with technical matters on the basis of principle, you don't get anything beyond technical and principle than that. Because that's what would have informed them. Because I would have imagined that if I made a board meeting, you would come and say, right, we are briefing you as you said, you do the briefing, do we continue, because the ASP said this, that, that, and you proceed. You challenge them because they're wrong. Why is it so difficult to say so? So I put it again. Because if you say to me in this committee that you have not considered that, then I can come to no other conclusion that there was no due diligence in this decision-making process about this, and takes me to the conclusion of it that you did not apply your mind, which would then compel me to say that you were a delinquent board, not to have considered the expert advice of the people in the space who are telling you about this matter. So I don't think any of the responses you are giving, you are helping your case, because then it would mean that due diligence was not applied. So again, Madam Chairperson, is it the position of the board that these entities are all wrong and you are right? Question stands.
No, thank you very much, Chair. In my earlier contribution, I stated that that there is some form of mutiny in as far as the points that we dealt with in relation to the accounting policy or accounting standard. I requested that from the list of the board members, one indication which of those new members of the board are, and we have discovered that it's 7 out of 12. And the resolution of that board, as enlisted by the chairperson of the board, is that they don't see any compelling reason to change the previous decision which was taken by the previous board. So I asked that question so I could see the balance. And then we went further to say, well, the court, the hearing has taken place, awaiting judgment. So I would want with the humility to plead with the chair to say let's await that judgment so that we get to the final point that you want to reach, which is a matter of interest. That after all the advices that we have been part of in terms of argument with the board, trying to reason with they saw it fit to take the court route. Even the previous minister's advice in this instance has been overlooked. His persuasion has not been looked into in this instance as executive authority. So the questions which you are dealing with from your side are so relevant and they're so cardinal in the sense that if all these offices, individuals, have prevailed on the board to say the route you're taking is not the preferred route based on the litany of evidence which has been provided on your side. Now that the courts of the land are dealing with the matters, without making reference to the role of the prejudice or what have you, because it doesn't necessarily matter on us, but to take the overall scenario and place on the board. So your question would then be of great fulfillment if it then comes at that time. But it would be of necessity that probably the board, after this whole engagement, goes back and look into the mirror and ask themselves, have we done justice on the matter? That made my own contribution, that the mismatch of a policy and a technical matter is crippling your view, and now you're ending into this kind of a situation. So just to persuade you, Chair, that let's allow them to reason back and find their own platform, their own time, to look into this pertinent matter. Of course, it's mute because the judgment is going to come out in whatever way. And we have sounded our own views on it, and we allow that process to unfold. We are not happy. We have never been happy. And because these matters, they don't only end in this boardroom. Thousands and thousands of our people out there remain affected. So our argument is an argument which is based on the ultimate effect of what we deal with to the man in the street, those who travel our roads on a daily basis. We ought to be serviced with satisfaction from time to time. So that's my point, Chair, in your insistence. Let's allow that process to unfold with humility. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bob Swamna. Well, this,
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'll get back to your question just now, but the response, the general response from the board chair is one of complete denial of the chaos and the mess at the Road Accident Fund. One visit to the Menlyn office should really change the board's mind about the mess. I mean, it's just a physical mess, let alone an administrative paper mess, a complete mess. And the denial that there is a mess and that it's all improved is really quite astounding. I would recommend to the board that they go out there and visit the offices on their own without anyone accompanying them, as they try to do with us at Menlyn and try and stop the staff from talking to us, and security guards trying to block us from going into the building. I had to physically push my way in, go there and speak to people. But Ms. Chairman, let's get back to the question you've got no answer from the board chair about. And I accept what Honourable Somyo is saying, but the implications are this. The implications for me is exactly the point you made, that the board is actually delinquent. The board has allowed the executive to go ahead with court action without applying their mind properly. Because if they had applied their mind, the board chair would be quite happy to say, we have applied our mind, we disagree with the opinions of these entities, and we have therefore now proceeded to court. But the board chair refuses to answer that question. It's astounding. So, Mr. Chairman, I think perhaps what we should be discussing as a committee is instituting action to declare the board members delinquent directors on this basis. And again, the costs that we have requested will be part of that action if we were to go down that route. But more importantly, will be that list of messages you have on the phone, I have on my phone, I'm sure all of us have on the phone, of the absolute breakdown of services provided by the RA. So, Mr. Chairman, I don't think we're going to get the answer to your question, which is also my question, and I think the question of the whole committee, sadly. But it does indicate that there has been delinquency there. And the fact that the whole entity is in such a mess, and that many of the board members are not new, means that that delinquency goes beyond simply a decision to go to court, but goes into the whole structure and operation of the organization. So, Mr. Chairman, with reluctance, I support the position that Honourable Somyo has said, but in the end, the court will determine. The fact is that the board has made a decision apparently without taking due diligence of the facts and the information available.
Thank you. So the board chair is reporting that the board has decided to continue with the previous position. The board chair doesn't appear to have a personal opinion on the matter and apparently has no mandate, despite being the board chair and having presided at the meeting, to give the position on the board as to whether or not they think that all the entities who maintain the RAF is incorrect or wrong. The RAF is funded by tax, paid for by South Africans. It is accountable to Parliament as a representative of the South African people and through that to this committee, and yet there is a complete and utter refusal to be held accountable. It's breathtaking in its arrogance, Chair. It's completely beyond any kind of concept of how boards and how corporates should actually be behaving. And I am forced to agree with my colleagues, and I think that we need to take the strongest possible action because this is completely and utterly unacceptable. Because ultimately what's happening is that you have, I'm sorry to say, a rogue board, a rogue RAF, and they are simply refusing to be held accountable to the people of this country. Thank you.
All right. No, colleagues, I agree. Babson, your outlook is right and practical in terms of what you have said. So I just want to put this question one last time in this way. What was the view of the board, and to use the words of the chairperson, the views of the ASB, OAG, and the AG? What were the views of the board on the positions which had been presented by those three entities?
Okay.
because it would lead me to saying that you have to have considered them. So when you considered them, what position did you take on them?
Chairperson, I've stated that the board considered all the views and the information that were put before them in relation to this matter. However, they realized that the actual disputes remained unresolved. That's why we from the previous board, we were looking for alternative ways of dealing, trying to find a resolution of the disputes up until now. So all those considerations were taken. However, they were not dealing with the dispute that this entity is being accounted for using an accounting policy that is, should be applicable to insurance companies. Because if you look at that accounting policy, it talks to organizations with insurance contracts. And the RAF doesn't have. So there is a technical dispute that remains unresolved, having considered
that road before, respectfully. Those views have been canvassed extensively. And despite them being canvassed, the guidance which we have given, the bottom line is that these entities put a view to you and you consider it. So what I'm doing is that I'll answer the question for you. It is the position of the board that the ASB is wrong and that the OHE is wrong and that the AG is wrong. And if you want to disagree with me on that, then it's fine. But we consider it here that that's your position, that they are wrong and you are right. But beyond that, what is very clear to us is that the board does not own this decision. Because you arrived here and heard from us that court papers had been signed on, you didn't know. And what is clear is that you would rather save those who are party to this court action than the collective integrity and the fiduciary responsibilities which are supposed to be the hallmark of the board. That is why you are unable previously and today to convincingly own this decision and explain it and its material consequences and effects. Because the previous board and this board are privy to the position of the ASB, the Office of the Accountant General, the AG, and this committee. So we've got, and the Companies Act is very clear. Board members are individually and collectively and severally responsible and liable for work and your responsibilities. So quite frankly, I've got no confidence in this board. And we will make that pronounced in our report. It is the oddest thing to go to court. Because you go to court when you disagree, because you believe the other party is wrong. And the fact that you can't even say that tells us exactly what our problem is. And delinquency is not off the table. Far from it. What we'll request is to establish a protocol for the purposes of the committee to be able to refer its ref matters as we receive them from the public, because our inboxes, as I'm sitting here now, I suppose someone somewhere is watching, I don't know, and they're asking you to put a long list of questions to you about their case. But I don't think we can deal with the case by case things here when you don't have the information. It would not be fair. So colleagues, Mazambane, you've got issues. Mamsibula, Mamlubeo, myself, we all have ref inquiries. We can, between the two secretariats, just determine how we can deal with these things and how we can contact people so that they can at least have a response to their matters. That will be that will be helpful. Colleagues, we're going to find time to meet as a committee and deal with this matter and finalize the report. I know there's a draft that's out, but we are waiting for this meeting. In large part, today's meeting changes quite a lot of the spirit and letter of the draft report that we had, because quite frankly, the outlook here is just shambolic. So, colleagues, we want to bring that to an end. Are there any other matters that you'd like to raise? I'd like to give to the chairperson of the board if there's any concluding remarks that you'd like to make. Madam Chair, if there's any concluding remarks you'd like to make.
Thank you, Chairperson and honourable members. All the comments that have been made today have been noted and will be duly considered. I have no further comments to make. Thank you very much.
On NSF and NSFAS tomorrow, same venue. As I just present, that's additional. They were here to the additional information. So we will meet tomorrow, colleagues. Next week, Tuesday, we've had to take out the meeting that we had because the debate on the State of the Nation address starts at 10. So we have had to forego that morning session. But on Wednesday, we have a meeting. So it's not 10 both days, colleagues. So it's 10 on Tuesday, but on Wednesday, we're meeting. So please just remember that. Thank you very much, colleagues, Madam Chair, to Madam Deputy Chair, the executives, the ministry, the REF family, AG, SIU. Be safe on the roads. Take care. Godspeed. That's the chair.